Well, good afternoon, friends. I'm sure every one of you watching, or most of you anyway, would know who this individual is. Albert Einstein, the famous German physicist. By all accounts, a true genius. And I think everybody would recognise that who knew anything or knows anything about Albert Einstein. The average IQ of a human being ranges from 85 to 115. The average being about 100 or thereabouts. Only 1% of the human race, it is said, have an IQ 135 or above. Mr. Einstein's IQ was 160. So he certainly was a genius. Only about 1 in 10,000 people have an IQ 160 or above. He came up with the theory of relativity, and that's certainly beyond me to even begin to understand that. What a man, what a remarkable intellect, an IQ of 160, about 60 points above the human average. I'm not sure what my IQ is. I'd be well surprised if it was near 100. That's probably about 60 or something like that, maybe 70. I don't know. I've never tried it. But there you have it, Albert Einstein, the physicist, with this tremendous IQ, this tremendous intellect. As he looked at the laws of physics and the observable universe, he made some remarkable statements. Now, by all accounts, he came from Jewish descent. He wasn't a Christian, although he did have a passing interest in the Bible and tipped his hat, as it were, to the things of God. But as a physicist alone, looking at the natural laws of the universe and the structure of the universe as he saw it, he made some remarkable statements about the existence of God. You see, the Bible says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there's no God." And I'm convinced today that there's nothing more foolish in all the world than an atheist. The scripture says that the very heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. They say that the observable universe from edge to edge is about 93 billion light years across. A light year is the distance that light can travel in 1 year. And it takes about 8 minutes and 20 seconds for the light from the sun within our own solar system to reach us. So the universe is a big place. And as Mr. Einstein observed the universe, he said, "I believe in God, who reveals himself in the ordinary harmony of the universe." The fact that the universe does not destroy itself was a signpost to Albert Einstein's tremendous intellect that there must be a God, given the harmony of the universe. The Bible says concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That is, he holds all things together. He keeps the stars and the planets and their courses in space. Mr. Einstein also said, "Everyone who is seriously involved in the pursuit of science becomes convinced that a spirit is manifest in the laws of the universe, a spirit vastly superior to that of man, and one in the face of which we with our modest powers must feel humble. A spirit at work in the universe." Now, you can't define a spirit or a spiritual entity or a spiritual being in scientific terminology. But as this man looked at the universe, he was convinced that there was a spiritual power, a spiritual being at the back of the universe, vastly superior to that of man. He also indicated, having made these statements, "I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are not important." And that's wise. Maybe just the way he phrased it, we mightn't agree with, because all things relating to God are important. But we need to know God's thoughts. And God has revealed his thoughts to us in the Bible. And what God has to think about us, and what God has to say about us, well, that's the most important thing. The story's told that whenever Einstein was an old man and his mental alertness was not what it once was, he was travelling home from Princeton to his own dwelling. And as the conductor made his way down through the carriages to punch the tickets off the passengers, he asked Mr. Einstein for his ticket. Mr. Einstein put his hand in his coat pocket, no ticket. He put his hands in his trouser pockets, no ticket. He opened his briefcase, no ticket. He began to look under the seats and between the cushions, no ticket. He became somewhat embarrassed The conductor picked up on this and says, "Mr. Einstein, I know who you are. In fact, we all do. I'm sure you purchased the ticket. Don't worry about it." Mr. Einstein said nothing, and the conductor walked away. The conductor then looked over his shoulder and saw Mr. Einstein on his hands and knees again, frantically under the seats this time, looking for his ticket. He came back, the conductor that is, and rehearsed the same words. "Mr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all do. I'm sure you purchased the ticket. You needn't worry yourself about your ticket." Mr. Einstein then said this, "I know who I am, but I don't know where I'm going." You see, the ticket was showing him where he had to go. He had forgotten his very address. He didn't know what station to get off at. He didn't know when to exit the train. And so you can understand his dilemma. And friends, in life, many of us know that we're on the journey of life. But the problem for many is they don't know where they're going. They don't know where their home is going to be whenever life's journey comes to an end. And therefore, they've got no peace, no contentment as they travel the journey of life. I can say today that I know who I am. I know my identity in Christ, and praise God, I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? Whenever life comes to an end and you're summoned from time into eternity, do you know where you're going? Make sure by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting his person, his atoning death, believing in his glorious resurrection, call upon the Lord and give your heart and life to him. May God bless you, friends. Thank you so much for your time. And we will see you again very soon. God bless you now. Bye-bye.